back to our study of Ecclesiastes. We're one third through. 8 more chapters. Aren't you excited? Or is it just me? Am I the only one learning from this? I hope everybody is. We're one third through. We're going to finish chapter 4 this morning. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll begin chapter 5. So if you missed any of the sermons on this book, beginning from the introduction to the first 4 chapters, they are all available for you to listen to on our podcast and our website. So we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We finished last week in verse 12. Okay, we ended in verse 12. And the theme that we're trying to follow here with our teacher, Solomon, is his laments, right? He's been lamenting things in the end of chapter 3, beginning of chapter 4, all the way to the end of chapter 4. And he's going to take a break in chapter 5. But for now, if you've been here for the past few Sundays, Solomon has been lamenting things. Okay, what are these things? If you can remember, we spent the last 2 Sundays going over the things that Solomon is lamenting about in terms of what he sees in the world or what he sees under the sun. Why is he sad? Because some of these things are really, disheartening to see. And Solomon sees it. That's why he's lamenting. He first lamented what? The poor and the oppressed near the end of chapter 3. Then in the beginning of chapter 4, Solomon starts his lament because what? He sees that instead of working together and living life together, people under the sun work hard to outdo each other, make each other envy, make each other jealous. And that was last week's sermon, right? He's lamenting that. And today, Solomon laments the vanity of popularity over that of influence. So he's lamenting the vanity of popularity versus influence. Now I'm going to give you a heads up right now. You need to be awake for this part because we're going to take these verses a little bit differently. Okay, so instead of beginning with the text, that's what we've been used to doing, I begin with the text, talk about it, and then at the end, extract wisdom and application from it. Today, we're going to do it differently. We're going to start from extracting wisdom from it, as we've done. Okay, we're going to extract the wisdom first, discuss that first, and then we're going to go get into the text. Okay, so I need you to be awake. Everybody awake? Nobody's sleeping yet. But it's still early. I expect the usual suspects to be, dozing off in a few minutes. Okay, so what is the wisdom that can be found in this text? I've already summarized it. This text is about the vanity of popularity over influence. Let's read the text again. I want you guys to kind of meditate on this text. It's hard to see the wisdom because of the way it's worded, right? It says, better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. For he went from prison to the throne, though in his own kingdom he had been born poor. I saw the living who move about under the sun along with that youth who was to stand in the king's place. There was no end of all the people, all of whom he led. Yet those who come later will not rejoice in him. Surely, this was also vanity and a striving after wind. So, I'm saying that this whole text is about popularity versus influence. So, first question we need to answer is, what is the relationship between popularity and influence? Is there a relationship between these things? Okay. Before we get into that, before we answer that question, we need to define what popularity is, what influence is. So, definition from the dictionary, popularity means the state or condition of being liked, admired, or supported by many people. That's what it means to be popular. To be liked, admired, or supported by many people. Now you can say that there is a negative kind of popularity, that you're so popular because everybody hates you. You can still say that. But the popularity that we're talking about is the condition of being liked, admired. You're famous, not infamous. You get what I'm saying? Okay, that's the popularity we're looking at. Influence, on the other hand, means the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. So to influence something means you have the capacity to affect the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. Or influence can be the effect itself. Okay, what effect you have on others, that's your influence. Right? You can also define influence as a person or thing with the capacity or power to have an effect, again, on someone or something. Okay? A person or a thing can have an influence over someone or something. Now, there are two types of influence. A temporary influence and a lasting influence. Okay, temporary and lasting influence. Now, I think that in certain situations, a temporary influence comes from or is a fruit of popularity. So when you're popular, you have a certain type of influence. Okay, easy to follow so far, right? Meaning to say, people or things that are popular, again, have a certain level of influence because they're popular. You take away popularity, they have no influence. It's like when PlayStation first came out, it was very popular. So it influenced a lot of kids to go get part-time jobs so that they could buy PlayStation or get good grades so that their parents would buy them PlayStation. When Tiger Woods first came out, he was very popular. What did he influence people to do? Play golf. Okay. But their influence came and went with their popularity. Okay, I don't think anybody here is still influenced by Nora Honor or Vilma Santos or because why? Because they're not popular anymore. Nobody listens to Hagibis and right? Those are Filipinos. You know what I'm talking about, right? Because they're not popular anymore. Like, Tiger Woods is not that popular anymore. So his influence has gone down with his popularity. Now, again, this type of influence coming from popularity is a short-lived type of influence. It is temporary. Because popularity in itself is short-lived and temporary. Okay? Nobody remains popular forever. Someone once said, we live in a world of short attention spans and short memories, where the most important question that we ask is, what have you done for me lately? If you haven't done nothing for me lately, then you're not popular anymore. Right? If the last thing that you did was back in the 90s that made you popular, then your influence is obviously gone. Because your popularity is gone. It's like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, although he's still popular today, he's not as popular as he was back in the heyday, back in the 90s. So the kids back in the 90s, back when I was growing up, we were practicing our fadeaways and our, right? That's why I became bald, because of Michael Jordan. no, it's genetics. But that's what it is, right? When Michael Jordan was popular, everybody wanted to be like Mike. Tongues hanging out, wearing the shoes. Some of us who are reliving our heydays back in the 90s, we still wear the shoes, right? But really, no. Our kids nowadays are influenced more by who? In terms of basketball, LeBron James. Right? He's the most popular basketball player that is still playing right now. So when you ask kids, who's better, LeBron or Michael? They're going to say LeBron. And that's because they're kids and they don't know anything about basketball. No, because I grew up in the 90s and for me, Michael Jordan was because he was popular and it influenced me. And I get it with the kids nowadays with LeBron, but he's still not as good. Okay? So if the Solomon is saying, if this is the route we're going to take, if this is the route we choose to take in order to leave our mark in this world, our mark will only last till the next big thing hits. If you choose to influence others based on your popularity, your mark will not stay as long as you want it to. Right? It'll only be temporary. Or to say it another way, if we choose to use our popularity in order to influence others, then our influence will be short-lived. It'll be temporary. On the other hand, there is another kind of influence, a lasting kind, a better kind of influence that does not come from popularity but comes from a person's character. Okay? So you can influence others not based on how popular you are but who you are. And this influence, I think, lasts longer. It stays longer, right? But having said that, this kind of influence, an influence coming from a person's character, also leads to popularity. But it's the other way around now, right? The first one, this popularity leading to influence, this kind of influence coming from a person's character is influence that leads to popularity. So you weren't popular before, but because of your character, you influenced others and you became popular. Okay? So, in other words, it is better to be popular because of the influence you had on others rather than use your popularity to influence others. Example is the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus first came into the scene, nobody knew him. Right? Nobody knew Jesus, but because of his character, the way he carried himself, the way he lived his life, he became popular. Even now, everybody still knows the name. They know when you say Jesus, they know. They might not know who he is, but they recognize the name. And he became popular because of his influence of others. He influenced others through his teachings, and he influenced others through his character. Okay, so that's the intro. Okay, so to summarize everything I've said so far, influence that is coming from popularity is temporary, because popularity itself is temporary, but influence coming from character is lasting and could also lead to popularity, which further prolongs and sustains the influence even more. Okay, we need to remember what I just said. Okay, you want me to repeat it? Influence coming from popularity is temporary. Influence coming from character is lasting, and it could lead to popularity, which could prolong or sustain the influence even more. Okay? Now, I think, again, that this is the wisdom that we can see in this chunk of text at the end of chapter 4. Okay, so now let's get into the text. So the way Solomon presents this way of thinking, or this wisdom, as we call it, okay, is through a parable about a poor and wise youth and an old foolish king. That's what the story is about. A poor, wise youth and an old foolish king. Now, if you go to the text, okay, let's read the first verse. Better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. First thing I want us to notice here is that part of living a life of wisdom is to know how to take advice. We need to be humble enough to take advice, no matter if you're a king or a poor youth. Nobody. Right? So, that's what Solomon is saying here. Okay? So that's what he wants us to see first. Because look how he describes the poor youth. The poor youth, he describes as wise. Right? He is wise even though he was poor and young. Meanwhile, Solomon describes the old, experienced king as foolish. And the reason is because he no longer knew. Okay? Not like he didn't want to. He just doesn't know how to take advice. I think that when it comes to overall context, to the overall context of this verse, being a king who, because of his position and popularity, thinks he's always right, makes him a fool. That's what Solomon's trying to get at. This king is foolish because he thinks he's always right. He doesn't want to listen to anybody else. I don't care what advice you're giving me. I'm the king. I know more than you. So in terms of his influence now, he'd rather use his popularity while he is still king to influence his people instead of using wisdom. That's what Solomon's trying to point out here. This king would rather use his popularity. I am king. You do what I say. Instead of using wisdom. It's like, and if I become like this, just fire me. Okay? There are pastors who rely on their popularity so much, okay, when it comes to the people in the church, in order to force their influence on the church. Meanwhile, they're too proud to take any advice, to be influenced by others, to be, and what I mean by that is, there are a lot of pastors, senior pastors, that are not good when being corrected or rebuked. They can't handle it. Okay? Because they're the pastor. Right? Why would you correct me? I'm the pastor. That's why I say, if I ever get this way, just get rid of me right away. Because this is not how it's supposed to be. This is not using wisdom to lead or to use your influence over people. You're just using your position. You're using your popularity. And Solomon's saying that better is the poor youth. Someone with no position, but through humility, is wiser beyond his age because he or she still knows how to take advice and be influenced by others for their own good. Better is the humble that takes advice, takes the rebukes, takes the corrections better than the quote-unquote old king who doesn't know how to take advice anymore. And again, I think that if we really want to leave our mark in this world, the best way to do it is to live out what we're trying to stand for. If you're a king, if you're standing as a leader of a nation, then be a king. If you want to lead your people to humility, be humble. Right? That's what character means. Okay, character is who you are. It's doing what you say, practicing what you preach. Right? It's who you are. Henry Blackaby once said, "Nothing is more pathetic than having a small character in a big assignment." Many of us don't want to give attention to our character. We just want that big assignment from God. A lot of us, we aim for leadership. We want to be leaders in the church. So we focus on how to get that. Meanwhile, we neglect our characters. You can't have small character and expect a big assignment. Because God doesn't look at what you do. He looks at what's inside of you. Right? With the elder selection, when we appointed our elders, a lot of the elders that I appointed are popular in our church. Everybody knows them. But that's not why they got appointed to begin with. They were appointed based on their character. And how did I make sure, how did I evaluate these elders based on their character? I asked their wives. Okay? Because a lot of us, we come to church, we wear our church clothes, right? Right? You know what I'm saying when I say church clothes? But when you're at home, you are a totally different person. And who better to know that than your spouse? So some of the elders, when I was interviewing them, I said, I'm going to talk to your wives as well. What? You're going to talk to who? Your wife. I need to know who you really are. Because I see you here. You're all biblical, right? You're all carrying your Bible, dressed nice, always saying the right thing. Amen. Praise God. Bless you. I don't know how you are at home. So best person to ask is your wife and your kids. They're the ones who can tell me if daddy's, well, you know, same person that he is at church, the way he's at home. So I interviewed their wives and I asked them, like, straight up, what do you think of your husband? And don't think that you're going to, you know, that you need to try to hide stuff from me because you're not doing him any favors. Tell me what you really think of your husband. And praise God, most of the wives thought really highly of their husbands. or else I would be alone. There would be no elders. I'm not just going to appoint people or a person to eldership just because he has a reputation of being, you know, a good Christian leader. No. Character is more important than that. Billy Sunday, a pro athlete turned evangelist back in the 19th century to the early 20th century, said this: "Your reputation is what people say about you. Your character is what God and your wife know about you." Okay, so please don't talk to my wife. I'm going to lose my job. No, talk to my wife. Ask her. I always ask them this every time, my wife and my kids. Am I the same person I am at home as I am at church? Pretty much, they said, except for the watching TV. So I watch a lot of TV when I'm at home. But everybody knows that. That's why I'm trying to be more transparent up here. You all know my addictions. I'm addicted to shoes. I even listed something on Facebook about the things I hate and don't, you know, I hate and I love. If you want to check it, check out my profile on Facebook. There's 25 things I listed there. Things that I really like doing and things that I really hate. So if you want to get to know me, but you're shy to approach me, go to Facebook, check it out. I have nothing to hide up here. That's what I'm trying to say. You what you see is what you get. Now I know I'm soplado. What's the English of that? Soplado. Snob. Yeah. I look like a snob, but I'm not. I'm a nice guy. You just need to you just need to get to know me, right? You just need to approach, you get to know me. I'm not gonna be rude to you, I'm gonna talk to you, but I just look like a snob. But that's what I'm talking about. This, a lot of times we try to hide our character behind our reputation. But you can't do that for so long. You can only do that for a certain amount of time, and then your character will pop out. Right? It's going to pop out no matter what. Right? Especially when things get tough. When you get into an argument, when things get rough, character pops out. And when it does, people are like, whoa. Well, I thought you were a nice guy, you know. No, that's my reputation. This is my character right now, right? So it is very important. And a lot of times the people that knows us closest are the ones who know who our real character is, who we really are. So parents, okay, now I'm done talking to wives and husbands. Parents, please do not put your popularity to your children before your influence on them. What do I mean by that? I mean that some parents want to be the child's best friend. That sometimes it affects how they influence them, especially when it comes to discipline. Because they don't want to ruin their cool parent status. Okay? Some of the parents looking at me like, and it's good. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be your child's friend. It's good. You have to be friends with your kids, right? Especially as they grow older. But don't let that popularity with your kids influence the way you discipline them. Influence the way you influence them in terms of discipline, right? It's like my wife, when we first had Eli, she always uses me to scare him. Oh, you're not going to eat? I'm going to call your dad. Oh, that's it, you're in trouble, your dad's going to... So for Eli, I'm the bad guy. I'm not popular with Eli because she always uses me to scare him, right? But my influence on him is more because when she can't control him anymore, she has to point to me again. Because he won't do, sometimes they get into arguments. I'm like, Eli, why don't you just do what your mom says? Because she's too nice, right? She's too nice. Some mothers are like that, right? You're too nice to your kids. Stop. Influence them. Not just by being nice. Influence them in terms of discipline. What will happen if the father is gone? How are you going to control your kids? You can't say, oh, your dad's coming. He's dead. So don't, like, for especially those of you with, all right, don't use your husbands to scare off your kids. My mom used that too. With my dad. Oh, Lolo's going to get you with his big spoon. It doesn't work when he's not there anymore because they won't listen to you. They only listen to the one who you're scaring them with. So in terms of your popularity when it comes to your kids, it's never a wise choice to let that rule over influence how you influence your kids. Okay? Sometimes you have to be the bad guy. Sometimes you have to be the bad cop. That's what they say. So don't let that, especially when it comes to your kids, don't let your popularity be overarching or be more of an influence than your actual influence on your kids. So the influence a character brings is something that can never be taken away. It's like what we said before, no matter if popularity fades. That's why it's up to your character to provide influence. Okay? Tozer once said, as the excellence of steel is strength and the excellence of art is beauty, so the excellence of mankind is moral character. That's what determines excellence, not popularity. Character. So it determines excellence, not popularity. Let's keep moving. Go back to our text. 14. For when he went from prison to the throne, though in his own kingdom he had been born poor. 15. I saw all the living who move about under the sun, along with that youth who was to stand in the king's place. Now, there are differing commentaries on this, especially on verse 14. In verse 14, it says, for he went from prison to the throne, though in his own kingdom he had been poor. Some commentaries say that the he in there is the foolish king. But I beg to differ. I think that the he in there is the wise youth. Okay? Because it just says he. But it could be talking either or about the king or about the youth. I think that it's the wise youth. Why? Because of verse 15. 15 says, I saw all the living who move about under the sun, along with that youth who was to stand in the king's place. So how did the story go? Okay, what happened to the king and what happened to the wise youth? The wise youth who knew how to take advice went from prison to the throne, even though in his own kingdom he had been poor. Right? The description of the wise youth was a poor, wise youth. What happened to him? The wise youth moved up in ranks and surpassed and succeeded the foolish king. So then in verse 15 it says, he took the king's place. So the wise poor youth became king. He became popular. Now there should be a lesson in there somewhere, right? There should be a lesson in there somewhere, like the humble will receive grace from God. And therefore, God will lift him up or her to the heights of power. That should be the lesson, right? Everybody agree with that? That's too bad, but because that's out of context. That is not the lesson that we should see from here. Okay, this is not about God's grace and having to, you know, lift you up to power because of your humility. That is not the lesson here. Although that is true, in this context, that is not the lesson, right? That is going out of context of the whole point of the story. So what's the lesson here? The lesson here is that, remember I said earlier, influence that comes from character also leads to popularity. That's what Solomon is weaving this story around in, right? So it looks like this is what happened to the poor wise youth. Because of his character and wisdom in knowing how to take advice, he became king. He became popular. So yeah, influence based on character will lead to popularity. But where does that lead to? How good is that? Let's see what Solomon says about it in verse 16. Verse 16 says, there was no end of all people, all of whom he led. Yet those who come later will not rejoice in him. Surely this is also vanity and a striving after wind. So what happened? The poor wise youth who became king led a lot of people. I take this to mean that he reigned for a long, long time. The poor youth, wise youth, reigned for a long, long time. But in the end of this, his reign, after his reign is done, those who come later will not rejoice in him. What does that mean? It means that it is impossible to achieve full acceptance in this world. Or in other words, you can't make everyone happy. No matter if you use popularity, or no matter if you use your character to influence others. You, in the end, you're not going to make anybody or everybody happy. What does this have to do, again, with popularity and character and influence? I think that this reinforces Solomon's point that popularity is a vain means to influence others. Again, being popular is the state or condition of being liked, admired, or supported by many people. Now, this way of trying to influence others is vanity because why? You cannot please everybody. And in order to stay popular, you need to please people. Now, Solomon's saying you can't. You can't please everybody. I always tell my children and the young people here at church, I'd rather be the bad guy and tell you the truth than be the good guy and tell you what you want to hear. I'd rather be, and even to you guys right now, not just to my children and the young people, I'd rather be the bad guy and tell you the truth than be the good guy and tell you what you want to hear. Like if you have something in your teeth, I tell you there's something in your teeth. If your breath stinks, I tell you that your breath stinks. And I expect you to do that same for me, right? Why? Because in the end, wouldn't that be better than to hear it from a total stranger, right? I'd rather be that dude. I don't care if you don't find me popular because I called you out by now, you know, for not brushing your teeth. I don't care if you hate me after that, as long as I told you what you needed to know. Some people don't take that well. Some do. In both cases, there has to be a certain amount of humility, a certain amount of love. And of course, there has to be a relationship there for you to come up to somebody and say, your breath stinks. Right? But that's how it is. If you are always about your popularity rather than your character, then do you truly love somebody? Or do you just truly love yourself? So Solomon's conclusion, verse 13 to 16, works for those who are chasing after popularity. And it also works for those who are using their character to influence others. Let me explain. Those who are trying to influence through their popularity, Solomon's saying that that's vain and is striving for after the wind, because in the end, you won't be able to please everybody in order for you to remain popular. Once your popularity drops, influence goes with it. You want your popularity to remain? Make other people happy. That's Solomon saying, you can't do that. It's hard to do that. It's impossible to do that. So popularity, in terms of, putting in influence to others, doesn't work. It's not a wise way to live. What about the other way? What about using your character to influence others, right? Solomon's conclusion in verse 13 to 16, or sorry, in verse 16 also works when the character of a person is the source of influence. How? Because Solomon says influence who you can through your character. Do it. It's good. And that influence will remain, right? But don't feel like you have to reach everybody. Because it's at that point where you need, or where the need for popularity will creep in and derail you in influencing others the right way. Do you get what I'm saying? So if you're influencing others through your character, do it. It's good. The influence will remain. But don't feel like you have to reach everyone. Because in the end, you won't. You're not going to make everyone happy. And if that creeps into you, if you feel like, oh, I have to reach somebody, you are going to compromise character for popularity in order to reach that person. And again, if you reach that person through popularity because you said something good, or because, you know, you compromise your character, And that influence is not going to stay anyway. So what's the point? So Solomon is saying, don't think that you have to reach everybody. Reach those you can reach with your character. But don't try to reach everybody, because you're going to fall into that trap of popularity. Next thing you know, you want to please people instead of please God. That's what Solomon, I think, is saying here. Right? So, just to close out our study of chapter 4, let's look at the things that, let's look at how the things that Solomon is lamenting relates to one another. Okay, so the whole of chapter 4 is about Solomon's lament. He's explaining to us, or describing for us, his frustrations in the things that he sees under the sun, in the things that he sees in the world. How do they relate to one another? Why are they all placed in chapter 4? Okay, Solomon again begins chapter 4 by lamenting about the oppressed and the poor. And then he follows that up by lamenting the selfishness in mankind. And then he ends it by lamenting and saying that character is what makes a person, not a person's reputation or popularity. How do those things relate? Okay, and this is how I'm going to close out chapter 4. So pay attention. In one sentence, this is how it all relates. Until we learn how to pay attention to our character and be brutally honest about our own selfishness and our own need to be noticed and be popular, there will always be those who need help, the oppressed and the poor, who will not receive any help unless death comes for them, because we won't help them, because we're all about ourselves. I think that's what Solomon's trying to tell us here. Until we learn how to pay attention to character, not popularity, not reputation, character. Until you learn how to pay attention to that, until you become truly honest with yourself about who you are, really, then there always is going to be a need for us to be selfish. There's always going to be a need for us to be noticed and be popular. And again, why is Solomon lamenting that? Because instead of working together, we work against each other. And when we do that, nobody gets any help. I think that's the relationship between all three laments. Why does he lament the poor? Why does he lament the selfishness of people? And then why does he lament people, putting more importance on popularity over character? Because in the end, nobody gets any help, because we're all for ourselves. Right? And listen, the only way that our character will change and can change is if we, by God's grace, through faith, learn to see that the true meaning of life is not found in the indulgence and acquisition of earthly treasures. It is found through the gift of faith to see that the greatest treasure in the whole world, in the whole universe, is found beyond the sun and not under it. This is where it all starts, right? Why don't we help others? Because we care so much about ourselves. How do we show that? Because we try to outdo each other in acquiring and indulging ourselves earthly pleasures. Meanwhile, there's a different type of pleasure that is found under the sun, and we neglect to see it, because of our weak faith. That's what it is. Until we learn how to admit that to ourselves, until we learn how to see who we really are, who our character really is, then there's not going to be any help for the poor. Nobody's going to help each other out. Everybody will just go against each other. Right? That's why Solomon says that it is vanity. It's striving after the wind. Doesn't make sense. Let me end this chapter by reading this chorus. This is a song that I think it just came out. It's entitled "He Knows My Name" by Francesca Battistelli. I don't know if anybody knows this song. "He Knows My Name" by Francesca Battistelli. The chorus goes like this: I don't need my name in lights. I'm famous in my Father's eyes. Make no mistake, He knows my name. I'm not living for applause. I'm already so adored. It's all His stage. He knows my name. If you realize that, if you realize that I'm already rich in Christ, I'm already adored in Christ, I'm already well loved, you're not going to need to buy Starbucks or the designer jeans or the best cars just to be loved by others or be noticed by others. No. Right? And if you're like that, if you know that, oh, my Father loves me, my Father adores me, and He knows my name, then I don't need to earn people's, likes, whether in Facebook or in real life. To the point where you lie just for people to like you. To the point that you sacrifice, compromise, influence because you want to be liked, because you want to be popular, right? If you really realize that there is somebody out there, up there, that really loves you, that sees you for who you really are and still loves you and knows your name, you don't need to be popular. You need to have the best clothes. You don't need to drink Starbucks. God knows our name. Born again believers, you're already popular where it counts in the eyes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He not only knows our name, he also knows our needs. He also knows our weaknesses and He also knows our destiny. And it's vanity to be searching for our desires and satisfaction under the sun. Look beyond the sun with faith and you will find what you've been looking for all along. Stop looking for it here. It only leads you to be sucked into that rat race of popularity. And then whatever influence you have on others will be temporary. You want to influence them for real? You want to influence them for eternity? Look beyond the sun. Amen? Amen. Let's close with a word.